Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and days old lang syne.
And a happy new year, everyone. John Hansen filling in for, I guess, the end of Cochran's show, and then Bill and Wendy here on this January 1st, 2018. And thank you so much for joining us here this morning. We got a lot to get to, but the first thing to get to, Dave Schwann, is when we talked about John Fox.
Yeah.
You said something that I thought was a joke or a euphemism or something, that you would miss his pet monkey, and
oh,
I have no idea what you're talking about. Now, I'm not the most religious Bears follower.
It's all right.
It's been easy to tune out the past few years, and I'm not a big football guy, so you know, it's easy to kind of go passing in and out of Bears football for me. What the heck is the story? He has a pet monkey.
Okay, so here's the deal. He revealed this at his press conference about a week and a half ago.
Okay.
It got to that point. You can't talk about football anymore.
Yeah.
So he did a TV spot on the Bears Network television program, and they asked him what his favorite Christmas gift was of all time. So he revealed when he was 11, he had a pet monkey named Gidget. You think I'm kidding?
He didn't say if Gidget went Hawaiian or not. It was just Gidget.
So when he was 11, yeah, he had a pet monkey.
Well, I wanted him to explain.
I wanted to explain.
All right.
Christmas gift was that year we'd gone down to my grandparents. They had a home down in Marathon Key in Florida. And so on the way back up from that, we happened to stop at a pet store. In those days, that was all legal. It was above board. I don't think they're selling too many of those things now. But, yeah, she was actually a great pet. And it was, you know, as I look back at it, very unusual, you know.
But that's the longest answer I've ever heard him give to a question.
That's the truth. And, you know, the worst part about it is he actually went on to talk about how the monkey met its demise 3 years later.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You want to hear that?
Oh, of course I do.
Okay.
I think she was around for about 3 years. And my brother had a little mishap, tied her up, and she got wrapped up, and she actually got sunstroke. Believe it or not, you know, you'd think a monkey in tropical land would be fine, but...
In fairness, you would think that.
Yeah.
I would think that. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, and, poor monkey.
And the best name, the name Gidget, as we said. And you're right. It seemed like it was the most passionate thing he talked about in his 3 years.
Well, now I'm going to miss him. Now I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Finally got a little heart and soul. Any idea? I mean, it's really early on in this. But a lot of people wondering if Ryan Pace will go with someone that has coaching experience. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of big names out there.
Yep.
Or maybe a defensive coordinator. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. You know, I think they'll look offensive. I think they'll look to Pat Shurmur, who's the offensive coordinator for the Vikings. You know, Frank Reich, who's been calling the plays in Philadelphia. I mean, they want to find somebody who's good around young quarterbacks. Because obviously they traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky, so they feel that this is their guy for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't show a whole lot of development this year. You know, Dowell Loggins was not the guy to develop a quarterback, let alone call an NFL game plan. So I think they'll go in that direction. They may give their defensive coordinator right now, Vic Fangio, an interview, which would be a smart thing to me. If he can surround himself with good people, it doesn't matter if he's an offensive coach or a defensive coach to me.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And Ryan Pace's job, everyone's pretty confident he's going to be around no matter what.
Well,
right?
I mean, that's not a given right now.
Well, then that's an interesting thing. Then what do you do in terms of this interview process?
I know.
You better move quickly if you're going to replace your GM.
It's a tough sell, because if you're going to sell a guy on being here for the long term and your job is on the line for 2 years, you only have 2 years left on your contract. It's hard to convince somebody to come in. I mean, there have been stories where coaches have outlived the GM.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's more common the other way around.
Right, right, right.
So, the organization is going to have to show a commitment to Ryan Pace and a commitment to the new coach.
Do you want to do it, Andy?
You know, I think I couldn't do any worse.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
312-91-7200, suggestions on the next Bears coach. I'm not looking for names. I'm looking for you to nominate yourself.
Okay, perfect.
Because
yeah.
I think everyone's going to be able to do a better job.
I want an interview.
Yeah, you should do it. Why not? Andy, good to see you.
You too.
Hope all is well and a happy new year. And good morning, everyone. We're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions, all other sorts of fun stuff. You heard the Auld Lang Syne song opening up. That wasn't the traditional version, of course. But there is a story behind where that song comes from. I don't think anyone really knows the lyrics to it, so we're going to chat about that. that sort of stuff in a little bit. But I really want to hear about your New Year's resolutions that are a little bit offbeat, a little bit quirky. I know a lot of people want to lose weight, and that resolution for me lasted about 2 or 3 minutes because I had a cookie to start the day. It was left over from the little gathering I had last night. Two cookies, in fact, on my drive-in. So that one's off to a great start. Lasted about 15 to 20 minutes. But I want to hear about some of your quirkier New Year's resolutions, not the lose weight, not the quit smoking, as great as those are. So text or call those in, 312-981-7200. As I mentioned when we were chatting with Dave, I'm going to have Dr. Sandy Goldberg in just a little bit. She's an incredible woman who her and her husband, they started a, this was on their closed access television, they started a TV show taking callers from people that were battling through illness, breast cancer, things along those lines. And quickly, Dr. Sandy realized that she had something there where people really needed help. They didn't have mammograms afforded to them through they were either underinsured or uninsured. And she started a Silver Lining Foundation. And we'll chat about that sort of stuff. So join the conversation. 312-981-7200. Plenty more on the way. Quick break here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Hanson in for the tail end of Steve Cochran Show, and then in for Bill and Wendy until noon today. Andy Mazur is still in the studio. I'm so excited, Andy, not only to meet you, of course, but to have a sports person. There's people in the studio with me. Normally, it's an overnight hour. It's me and Esmeralda Leon. We're right. Just chatting. Tom Hush is often with us, too. He's here today. But to have other people joining me, this is exciting.
I just didn't want to freak you out. You know, so I want to say, hey, listen, I'm here till at least 9:30, so yes. Just don't mind me over here.
Right. Any New Year's resolutions?
See, I told Plyer this earlier. Mm-hmm. I get bullied into these things all the time, and yep. I can't stand New Year's resolutions. And it sounds dumb to say, oh, my resolution is not to make one.
Right.
So I go completely off the board. My resolution for the last 7 or 8 years has been to become taller.
Really? And what sorts of things have you been working on?
I've been stretching a lot. I've been buying shoes that have little small lifts in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't really worked out for me.
Yeah, that's too bad. Maybe this year, though. Give it a real good
There's
shot.
There's always hope.
No, I'm not a big resolutions guy either. And I somewhat find it silly. I think we should always be working on ourselves or not working on it. You know, don't get better. Why is there this need to get better?
And what's the I mean, you know, obviously January 1st is a nice round, you know, day to start. But mm-hmm. Why can't you do it June 15th?
Yeah.
You know, or why can't you do it May 23rd? You
Any
know?
Day.
Yeah.
Pick Flag Day. June,
exactly.
June 14th, maybe. That's the day to really reinvest and look into things. But I know people have quirky...
That's all good.
Yeah, you know, and that's fine. If that's what people need. And I get the refresh, mm-hmm. restart. And, you know, it's always... It's hard for me because it was a tough... A lot of people threw out there that 2017 was this terrible year and 2016 was a bad year for people. And the people throw this out on Facebook. I think they're talking about national politics, things mm-hmm. along those lines. But... It's weird because I've had a really good couple of years, and I don't want to say that on Facebook or on Twitter or on Instagram because I feel like I'm going to be chastised for that. Tom Hush, I want to get you on here, by the way. New Year's resolutions this year?
Oh, man.
Anything?
A lot of things.
Well,
I have kind of this goal. I have this coffee table book of the New York Times 1001 Greatest Movies Ever Made.
Okay.
I want to try to watch as many of them as I can.
Wow. That would be three or four a day if you were to really go for it.
I think I can make at least two a day. I get up very early and I'm not afraid to watch movies alone. And
two a day?
Yeah, two a day. I watch a lot of movies.
Are you going to be employed through the new year, through the whole year? What do you?
You know, I can probably have my laptop out here in the studio watching, you know.
We should just start playing them on GN. You know, if you want to start one here today and it'll just take us till noon, that'd be
Please
great.
Do. Yeah, play we'll the start with Lethal Weapon.
Right. 312-981-7200. Let's go to the phone lines. Martha, you're on WGN.
Hi, John. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too.
I did not do resolutions last night, John. I did something a little different,
okay.
A little twist.
Tell us about it.
2017 was a really difficult year personally for our family. So what I did last night is to write down positive messages, positive goals that I'm hoping for in 2018 and burn them in the fireplace last night when we had a fire, thinking that positive energy, you know, would go out and boomerang back to us in 2018.
Interesting. I wouldn't think to burn the good stuff for 2018, but I get what you're saying, that it would then, you know, escape into the air and that it would come back. Can you share a few of the things that you wrote down?
Continued good health mm-hmm. for family, improved relationship with friends, stability in job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff, Martha. Hey, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks for the good vibes, too, to start this this day. Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think that sometimes we look at ourselves and say, what can we do better? But often it's just nice to look forward to positive things in 2018. Tom, you printed out this list of things to look forward to in 2018. And sports-wise, Andy, we got the Winter Olympics coming up. What is that, February then?
February out in South Korea.
And the World Cup is this year, which I think there'd be a lot more hype for it if we were involved in it, but it just, it'll be really, you know, when we found out that the United States was not going to be a part of the World Cup, I was bummed out like everyone else. It's not my favorite sport to watch, but I don't think it'll sink in until those moments, because was exciting to watch, even not really being a big soccer fan, but gathering in the bars to watch those games.
Well, it was like the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. I don't think a lot of people liked hockey at that time, maybe, but they rallied behind the country, and you know, there was a lot of bandwagon fans, which is fine, but it was kind of galvanized and energized the country, and I agree with you. It's going to be weird not to see the USA in it.
Yeah. 312-981-7200, things you're looking forward to the next year. We got the royal wedding. Are you a big royal watcher, Andy Mazur?
You know, I don't watch the royal as much as I probably should. Yeah, I don't really pay attention to that whole thing.
I'm really into The Crown on Netflix.
I was going to say, I don't need the royal wedding. I've got The Crown. I can just watch The Crown.
It's really good. Okay, we got really, really good movies, according to this list. It seemed like this last year, I saw some stat that 24 of the 25 top blockbuster films were either remakes, were sequels or prequels or something, which is just, can we have some new content?
I know. That's what I was saying the other day, too, because it just seems like there's no new ideas. I mean, I know that you get to a certain point and a lot of things have been done. But I just don't, sometimes I don't like the reboots of movies that I've already seen that with a different cast and a different direction. It just kind of seems weird.
And the one that made the list that wasn't was Dunkirk, which isn't a remake by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not original content. I mean, it's
a remake of World War II.
Yes, an important battle at that. Don't get me wrong. This list says The Frozen Musical. It's coming to Broadway. Okay. Regular People Going to the Moon. Have you read about this, Tom, in 2018? Go ahead.
I feel like we've been talking about it for a while, you know, with people like Elon Musk, you know, and even Jeff Bezos being really interested in getting commercial spaceflight to be a thing. Is it going to happen in 2018? This could be the year. I think they're really pushing for it, but we'll see. We'll just have to wait and see, honestly.
It's Silicon Valley startup Moon Express, and their slogan is, "The moon is me." It's not a good slogan. They need a new slogan there.
Yeah, just use the honeymooners.
Yeah.
To the moon.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. They say it'll definitely land a craft on the moon this year, paving the way for a generation of space casuals to populate it like it's the latest trendy New York City borough. That's what they say here on this article from CNN. Some good must-see TV this year. Black Mirror, Handmaid's Tales, new seasons. A new season, the last season of Veep coming out. Return of Westworld, which I know a lot of people are big fans of. And season 16 of American Idol this year. Get ready. This is interesting. Number 8, petting a headless robot cat and shaming yourself into eating better. Do we live in a world of transcendent progress and innovation or an increasingly inhuman technology dystopia? These are the types of questions you can ponder as you stroke your headless purring therapy cat, one of the many new gadgets from Japan that'll make its way into the mainstream next year. Okay. Other innovations include a scanner that can count calories. That's important, of course, for your New Year's resolution. A robot babysitter that appears to be a highly evolved Roomba. That's interesting. I don't know if I'd trust a robot babysitter. And the advent of ear prints as opposed to fingerprints as a security method. Apparently, our ears are just as unique as our fingerprints.
Interesting.
And they'll be able to do that. Doesn't seem like a great way to get through TSA, personally. A royal baby. It looks like Prince William and the Duchess are expecting their third child in April. These are things that we're looking forward to in 2018, by the way. Tesla's coming out with a new pickup truck.
Heard about that, yeah.
Interesting. Got the midterm elections. Man, it just seems like we've really taken a lull in politics the last, you know, 2016 was the big political year, and no one's been paying attention in 2017, of course. Well, get ready, because 2018, the midterm elections are here, and every congressional seat is up for grabs. Third of the Senate, of course. A lot of governorships. We've got the governor's race here in Illinois. Oh, can't wait for that. A new Game of Thrones book, potentially. Flights to Antarctica are on this list. Also, a big time capsule opening. This is happening in Texas. They're looking at the structure has capsules that are 50 years old that'll be opened. Okay. A Titanic diving trip. You can go down and see the Titanic, apparently. You're one of the special few. You can start in May 18. Go out to or May of this year. Superfans look at the opportunity to take diving trips to the wreck site. $100,000 to go see the Titanic.
Will I get to see the door that Rose survived on? Because if they don't have it, it's really not worth the $100,000.
No, no. You've really got to see that piece of memorabilia there. 847 chimes in. The resolution for 2018 is to read 52 books. So one for each.
One a week.
Yeah. Reading's definitely something when I have some time, I love to read. But it's unless you really are on it and you get going with it, it can be tough. Esports. Are you into esports, Andy, at all?
You know, I'm still confused a little bit by a lot of that stuff just because of the way that it's presented now. I mean, it's more of the, I hate to say it, but I think I'm a little old.
Mm-hmm.
It's more millennial kind
right.
of thing. It's interesting, though. I mean, the way that people are approaching it as far as ownership and really, you know, diving a lot of money into these things and trying to craft teams that are really good.
I have a friend, and he actually appears on WGN Radio a lot, Blake Stubbs. He does movie reviews for Dane Neal and myself. And he's really into the esports world. Mm-hmm. And when he was on California, he would cover these big events,
yeah.
and there would be tens of thousands of people. I mean, there's definitely an opportunity there for money to be made. When some historical anniversaries this year, 2018 will mark the 100th anniversary of the end of the First World War, the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act of 1968. So a lot of good things to look forward to in 2018. And Martha, thank you for that inspiration. Quick commercial break here on 720 WGN. All right, it is 9:30, and Dave Schwann, hello to you, too.
Good morning again, John. Hello, and Happy New Year.
Got exciting things to look forward to in 2018, I imagine, Dave?
Well, sure. We've got, who knows what the new year will bring, but
right.
I do have some travel plans in the works.
Oh, yeah, where are you going?
Well, I'm not sure specific. Well, one thing I am working on is a trip back to the southwest United States, Santa Fe, New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
which I've enjoyed, even in the summer. Because you're in what's called the high desert and the mountainous area. You're about, 7,000 feet up. So it's not stiflingly hot in Santa Fe. You can have a 30-degree temperature difference between Santa Fe and Albuquerque, which is in the valley. The last time I was there was very nice, upper 70s maybe, around 80 in Santa Fe. And
that
then I got
nice
back
right
down to Albuquerque to get to the airport, and it was 100. So.
You know, I'd still take that today.
Yeah.
You know, I've been to Arizona for spring training, but I've never been to New Mexico, Utah, that sort of area.
Oh, and then southern Utah.
Is it from
northern Arizona. Beautiful.
You want to go now,
Dave? The national parks there. Actually, if you're dressed to go to a place like Bryce Canyon National Park or Arches National Park, if there's snowfall on those natural rock formations, that would be breathtaking.
That would be really pretty stuff. You know what I want to do this year is I want to spin the globe like you used to do as a kid
yeah.
and just drop your finger down and go there. We
yeah.
should do that as a station one day.
Road trip.
Yeah, a nice little road trip. Of course, knowing my luck, I'd get like Crown Point or something like that, and then we'd have to go. All right, have a great day, Dave. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. 720 WGN, John Hanson in for the end of the Cochran Show and then the start of Bill and Wendy. I'll be here till noon. And I'm joined by Dr. Sandy. You may be my favorite guest I ever get to chat with. And I'm so excited you're here in the new year. Happy New Year.
And a happy new year to you. And I love you, John.
Oh, it's the Dr. Sandy and Johnny Show.
Absolutely. I remember last time I was on, you said, my mother calls me Johnny. Well, your honorary Aunt Sandy also calls you Johnny.
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Sandy. Did you do anything fun last night for the new year? How'd you ring it in?
If you call watching football throughout the course of the day, watching our favorite veterinary show in the evening, and going to sleep at 11:11, there we are.
Yeah. I don't know what button I just hit, by the way. Did I hit a spot? There we go. It was the computer button. Sorry, Dr. Sandy. I was giving you some dramatic music. So you watched a favorite veterinary show, you said?
Yes. It's called Dr. Pohl.
Dr. Pohl.
The amazing Dr. Pohl.
And who is Dr. Pohl?
Dr. Pohl is a veterinarian in Michigan.
Do you have pets that you watch this for to learn some facts? And
actually, we got hooked on it. You know, it's one of those shows. Do you have any shows that you get hooked on and you absolutely positively have to either listen to or watch?
Like Netflix shows. Never anything that's on television at a direct time.
No.
You know, like none of the network shows, nothing like that.
No, Dr. Pohl is the best.
So what is it? Is it a drama? No, it's a veteran.
It's
does
a regular vet show. No, it's a regular vet show. It shows
mm-hmm.
him going out in the community and taking care of cats and dogs and llamas and chickens and whatever else he takes care of. And you get hooked on it.
Okay. How many episodes did you watch? Or did you just watch the one that
We've been sort of binge watching it over the weekend. That just shows you this is your future, Johnny. I want you to know that. Binge watching Dr. Pohl. And then football, of course.
Of course.
Gotta watch football.
Were you up for the new year? Do you stay up for the midnight countdown and all that?
Look at my platinum here, John. Do you think I stayed up over the weekend, over New Year?
No, so you did. Any resolutions for the year?
Yes.
Tell us.
Yes. Attempt to have more patience.
Okay.
That's really number one on my list.
And you say patience, not patience, because you're Dr. Goldberg, but patience meaning...
Patience, yes. To learn, really, and I'm thinking at my age, if I haven't learned by now, but it never hurts to try, you know, just to be able to level it out a little bit more, and which is very difficult to do in this day and age, yeah, as you know, in terms of what we do.
I think a lot of it with patience and all those sorts of things is unplugging a little bit from the day-to-day news that we all hear, mm-hmm, and maybe getting off social media a little bit. I think that would all help us because we're all a little trigger-happy right now.
Well, what was it called? I was reading the paper this morning, and they called 2017 the year of anger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Very much so.
I mean, you go on any comment thread, anything like that, and mm-hmm, people are just vicious towards each other. We could all use it to take a step back.
I think people are vicious toward each other, and people, on the other hand, feel that they don't matter. And if you pay any kind of attention to anybody, they're shocked.
Mm-hmm.
They're shocked. I mean, as you know me well, and I talk to everyone. My husband says I can talk to a cactus. But people just respond to any kind of interest in them as a human being, whether, yeah, it's, gee, I really like your shoes, or, you know, the nail polish is great, or I like your shirt, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. The reason why we have Dr. Sandy here, not just because we're the Sandy and Johnny show, but a Silver Lining Foundation. We got to talk about that, of course. And for those of you, I mean, you've been on WGN plenty of times. Mm-hmm. You've been on the morning show that I work over at WCIU-TV. You've been all over the place. For those that don't know what a Silver Lining Foundation is, why don't you illuminate people right now?
Okay. Silver Lining Foundation was co-founded by my husband and myself as a result of my being diagnosed with breast cancer. And although we have multiple programs, all of which deal with breast health education, resource information, and outreach, the heart of what we do is to fund all breast health testing, literally soup to nuts, screening mammograms through biopsies for individuals. And I use the word individuals, Johnny, women and men, who are uninsured, underinsured, and undocumented. And we now fund, our sole funders basically, of 15 plus one, 16 partner hospitals. And we fund everything, all breast health testing related. And love what we do. The need for what we do continues to escalate. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that when we were talking about New Year's resolutions and patience, I try to be patient with the changes that there are in healthcare and the attitude of people who have for people who don't. And that's where I find my patience to be sorely lacking.
And when you say lack of insurance, you're also talking about not only people that don't have any insurance, or but those that are underinsured. And that's what I wanted to ask you that we haven't got a chance to talk about. Is everyone aware, I guess I could ask this, do people often call you and say, I'm shocked that this mammogram or this cover or this test was not covered by my insurance?
Yes.
That happens a lot.
Yes. Because people think because they have insurance that they have insurance.
Right.
That they should be able to get what it is they need. And that, more and more as time goes on, is less and less the case. People call us in terms of underinsured aspect of it, which was a great question, incidentally, about not being able to get a test, about realizing that their deductible is so astronomically high that they can't cover it, or their copay is too high for them to be able to afford to go in and get testing. So we added that component. There's also the component of the age factor, which we don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had, within 1 hour, maybe about 2 months ago, we had two young women call. Theoretically speaking, they were insured. Their insurance covered their screening mammogram, then up the food chain. Their diagnostic, their ultrasound, they needed a biopsy. The insurance companies turned them down because they were under the age of 40.
That's shocking because, well, it's rarer, I should say, but plenty of women get diagnosed with breast cancer before the age of 40.
It's becoming less and less rare, interestingly
really?
Enough. Yeah, before, breast cancer was a province of women, you know, in the main post 45 and on up. Now that is not the case at all. Not at all.
Is there a reason for that? Do we know why?
I don't think we really know why. I think part of it is the fact that younger women are really asking to get tested because of the awareness. I also think the enhanced technology that is out there. And then heaven knows what else is going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can we do a few things to reduce risk factors?
Right.
Yes, we cannot prevent, at least not yet. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that day will come.
So I wanted you to get, we'll talk more about what you guys do and how you all do it. But I think it's important to get this phone number out there because really this is how it starts for people that are looking for help, right?
Yep. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call 312-345-1322. That's all you have to do.
One more time.
312-345-1322.
And who should be calling that number?
Well, I think that there are any number of people that should be calling. Certainly people that need a mammogram, need breast health testing, and are uninsured or underinsured, especially now going into the new year with the deductibles kicking in, mm-hmm. and the many people just can't afford insurance in general. People who have a very, very strong history, people who maybe were insured at one time and are not now. We had a woman that hadn't had a mammogram for 15 years, and she called us, and she said, I lost my insurance. Those are the people that should be calling. With strong family history, certainly concern, very strong interval of time, long interval of time, rather, in between mammograms. And I think, we have to be sure we're also doing breast health testing and if there are any changes that you've noticed in your body.
So I find that the new year is a chance for us to take stock in who we are and what we do. We talk about losing weight. We talk about having more patience. But really taking stock of our own health.
Right.
Is, I think, really, really important. And I say that as someone who hasn't had a physical in 4 years, and I'm insured. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, right?
Well,
but we shouldn't shame people. We should say now is the chance to get a restart on that.
Well, I don't think even the question is shaming people. I think the question is reminding people that if you are blessed to have insurance, you might as well avail yourself of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you have to become an advocate for your own health to discover where you can get access to those tests that may potentially save your life.
Yeah. So 2018 can be a great start for that. Dr. Sandy, stay right there. We've got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to talk more about a Silver Lining Foundation and whatever else comes to mind because everyone's texting in about Dr. Paul and people love this show. I love
See?
Dr. Paul. I love Dr. Paul. We watch him. We live on a farm in Hennepin. I imagine that's up in Minnesota. That's what Sandy, our friend, another Sandy, watching Dr. Paul. You have friends out there, Sandy.
See?
Plenty more coming up at 720 WGN. So as we take stock of our health in the new year, which I think a lot of people should do, and they should go see a doctor if they can afford it, if they're insured, what are some other things that we can do to kind of take stock of our health to reduce risk factors, whether it's breast cancer or other things?
Well, I think the important thing is that we're talking about risk factors most of the time, and we'll see on the internet, on television, on the or listen on the radio, prevent this disease, prevent that disease. Theoretically speaking, that with very few exceptions, that's not going to happen. What you can do is lower your risk factors for developing those, and some of them are really very basic. You keep your weight under control. If you don't drink, don't start. If you drink, lower as much as you possibly can. Now, there is a very strong correlation between alcohol and the development of breast cancer.
Really?
As an example. Very, very strong.
Are you talking about how much, because you're talking now on New Year's Day. There's a lot of people waking up right now.
Yes, indeed.
Who had a night of drinking. It's not, you're not talking about one night. You're talking about chronic abuse, or are you talking about even limited in moderation?
Limited in moderation.
Really?
What is considered to be too much alcohol in terms of a risk factor where breast cancer is concerned for women is the equivalent of 2 glasses of wine a day.
Okay.
That's not a lot.
Right.
That's not a lot.
I know a lot of people that go home after work and they have, one, two before they go to bed and they, maybe this is a broader topic, but man, we hear so many studies and one day a glass of wine a day is great for you and the mm-hmm. next day it's terrible for you. Those sorts of things can be confusing to people.
They're confusing, but again, we come back to a term that, I've used over the course of centuries, so it seems that people, joke to me about, and it's so, and the term is moderation. I mean, and that seems to have gone out the window pretty much across the board. And whether you're talking about obesity in our country, something like 66% of adults are obese in our country now, and something depending upon the group you're talking about in terms of young people, it can be as high as 70%.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, these are the sorts of things we have to look at. And going back to lowering risk factors, what are you eating? Is everything fried? Is everything out of a box? Is everything out of a package? Is it loaded with sodium? Those are the sorts of things. I just read a study the other day about lowering dementia, the onset of dementia, cognitive aspects as you get older, which obviously interests me. And it's as simple as eating green vegetables, and not a lot, but a serving of green vegetables a day. And there was a noticeable difference in terms of the cognitive aspect of it as people aged somewhat. You know, diabetes. And again, weight, I think I would go start with weight first to begin with. Get the weight down. But what I do feel is that we are unrealistic in terms of what we should be weighing. We're number oriented.
Right. Pounds, yeah. I want to see, or the size of the jeans that I'm wearing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Should be more about, I guess, what we're putting in our bodies.
I remember once in my clinical practice, a woman came to see me, and, you know, granted, she had some weight to lose, and she was 5'10" tall. So, of course, I looked like a rather short whatever next to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, I want to get down to 105 pounds. I said, you're 5'10" tall.
Whoa.
The only way you're going to do that is if, God forbid, you're very, very sick. The average woman in America, I'm just a fount of statistics.
You really
today,
are.
Am I not?
You really are.
Yeah. The average woman in
America.
You
got your sleep.
Yes, I did. After watching Dr. Pohl, I might add.
Now, there's going to be more text. If you like Dr. Pohl, text in 312-981-7200. I've never heard of the show, and Dr. Sandy is really letting me hear about it right now.
You see. Mm-hmm. You see. Now, we'll start you. You'll binge watch, too, Johnny.
So she wanted to go down to 105 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But the average woman in America today, again, across the board, is 5'4" tall, weighs roughly 155 pounds, and wears, and this is, for the women that are listening, are all going to go, what? Wears a size 14. We are so, as you said, size-oriented. That has nothing to do with anything but how vanity-sizing the manufacturer is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it should be more about what, then?
Should be more about health. Should be more about well-being. Simple things to do. You know, everybody says to me, especially to me, well, I'm going to lose 500 pounds by February the 1st.
Right.
No, you won't. All you want to do is that the weight should be trending down. If you lose a pound a month, at the end of the year, you'll be 12 pounds less.
Which sounds great when you put it all together like that.
Yeah, well, it's the whole cumulative aspect. Many years ago, I had a patient, and she had a lot of weight to lose. And finally, she came to me. She said, you know, she'd lose. And she came to me. She said, do you know that I have been with you for 4 years, and the most amount of weight I've ever lost, or I lose a half a pound of weight a week, every week. That's all I ever lose. I said, so it's 4 years, right? She said, yeah. I said, how much weight have you lost? She said, 104 pounds. I said, really?
Yeah, let's do the math
really?
Here.
Really? Comes the dawn, eh? So, again, we're an instant gratification society. A lot of it has to do with the technology that we all depend on. We want an answer. We can get it literally within milliseconds. That is not the way life works. All you should be doing is trending downward. If you drink, say, or if you have bread at each meal, let's use that as an example, cut it out at one meal. You know, if you're used to having French fries every day for lunch, start every other day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are small changes that we can make that will have a cumulative impact.
I kind of yo-yo between the same, which I know is not good, 20 pounds or so. And for a guy, 20 pounds, if you're around 200 pounds, it just seems like a lot, but it isn't that much. You can lose and gain 20 pounds pretty quickly. I found that the most successful things that I do, and I've been a lot better the last couple months, I actually lost a lot, about 10 to 15 pounds in a couple months.
Oh, rub it in.
I know, sorry. Yeah. I had a lot to lose. It's easy to do. But when we're such a culture of, I want to cut all this out right now,
right.
And I feel like those always end up failing.
There are very few exceptions when it doesn't fail. I think if you really start to take a look at what it is you're doing, you may discover that there's a food for you that would be like a drug for somebody else. And if that is your drug, that is something you may need to cut out. My thing was French fries. You know, I lost 183 pounds. You know that.
Well, I did not know that.
Yeah. I lost 183 pounds, and on February the 1st, it's going to be off for 45 years. How that can be when I'm 39, I haven't quite figured out. But I lost 183 pounds, and my drug of choice was French fries with ketchup. And I've not had, and I knew that's my drug of choice, and I couldn't have it, and I haven't had it.
Hold on, I'm blown away. What weight were you when? So when was this? This was 45 years ago?
It was about 46, 47 years ago, yeah.
And how much did you weigh?
I weighed over 300 pounds.
And you lost it. I mean, it started with French fries, is cutting that out, and it was obviously a lot of other things after that.
Well, I think number one is that, you know, you learn as you go along. I mean, I started to really pay attention to what I was doing and what I wasn't doing. And then it just came off from then. Many years ago, Weight Watchers was a very different program than what it is now. I'm not knocking what it is now. My familiarity was it 40-something years ago. So for several years, I followed that particular nutritionally-based, non-packaged food plan, and then got interested in nutrition, started to do things on my own, went back to school and, you know, became Dr. Sandy. But I do think a structure is necessary, but I think that the structure, to a great extent, has to be self-created.
Yeah.
You know, if someone would have said to me, Sandy, you can never eat a French fry ever again in your entire life, I would have said, the hell with you. But I had to figure out that that was my thing. And when I figured out that was my thing, and then I could create what I needed to create and lose the weight and keep it off, because we all lose weight. You know, can we keep it off?
Yeah.
You know, that's the issue.
Can you stick around a little longer?
Sure.
Yeah, I'd love to chat with you. We're getting some texts about how weight loss gets harder as you get older, and that certainly is a case with metabolism slowing down, those sorts of things. So I'm going to give everyone two phone numbers. The first is ours, 312-981-7200. Text or talk if you'd like to call in and ask Dr. Sandy a question, or text us. We're going to talk more about a silver lining, but any health-related question. You seem to know a lot, Dr. Sandy. Big shocker.
Thank you, Johnny, my boy.
And the second number, why don't you give it out again? This is a Silver Lining Foundation.
It's 312-345-1322.
And that's if you're underinsured, uninsured, looking for help with screenings for breast cancer.
But screenings are actually, in some cases, people have insurance that their screenings can be covered, but their diagnostics are not.
Okay. So call that number if you need that help, 312-981-7200 if you need ours. And we'll take a quick commercial break and more with Dr. Sandy and the news after this. 720 WGN. I have so many questions for you, Dr. Sandy. The first is, wait, where do I find Dr. Pohl? Because everyone wants to talk about that this morning.
It is on Discovery.
Okay.
And it's going to be on Nat Geo as well.
We have so many people texting in that they love Dr. Pohl.
Well, if you have DirecTV, it's 283.
Okay. Nice little shout out there. 312-981-7200, talking to Dr. Sandy Goldberg. This is John Hansen, by the way, filling in now for Bill and Wendy until noon. We got a question from Becky. Becky, you're on 720 WGN.
Hey, John Hansen. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good. This is a friend of a friend of yours down here in Champaign, Illinois.
Oh, friend of a friend. Okay. Happy New Year, Becky.
Your friend Joe. Yeah, Happy New Year. Hey, listen, I have a question, Dr. Sandy, and this may sound really crazy. This is about overeating. So I tend to eat until I'm physically sick, really. And I'm wondering, is it possible that because of medications or other things as you get older, is it possible that the brain signals change and that your body doesn't realize that you've had enough? I know that sounds crazy, but, like, is it possible for the brain to stop sending the signal that says, okay, stop eating, you've had enough?
It's a very complicated question, you know, and to which I have to give you a very complicated answer. What I would do is start to rule out things. Number one is I would see whatever medication one is on, whether or not one of the sidebars of that is increased appetite and increased weight gain. That would be number one. You know, number two, I would take a look at what time of the day am I eating and what am I eating? That would be something as well.
Because there are certain things that satiate you more than others, is what you're suggesting.
There are. And then also, are you hungry or are you thirsty? And there's a big difference there. You might try drinking more water, and that many times satisfies people more because we're looking. And then, of course, and I'm not implying personally here, there's a psychiatric component of, you know, I get to a point where I don't feel that I have to go any further. Then I'm full, I'm too full, right. Now I can back off a little bit.
And there are
definitely probably thirsty.
Oh, okay.
Try that.
That rings a bell. Okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know it's behavioral also, but I was just talking to my husband about this last night, so it's great that you're on the radio this morning.
See, when John asks me, I come to the station.
That's great. You should always listen to John.
Oh, Becky, you're so sweet to say that. Say hi to my friends, by the way, down there.
I will. Thank you so much.
Of course. 312-981-7200. And, you know, I think it's about starting that conversation. That probably is not the easiest thing to say out loud, that I can't stop eating, I don't feel satiated. But it's important to have these conversations with professionals.
And I'll tell you, it was very brave of her to talk about that on air.
Yeah.
Very brave, because a lot of people pretend like things are okay, and then they go someplace else and they shove stuff in their mouth or won't deal with it. So that was really an excellent question.
That's what we're all about here, the first day of 2018, taking stock of your health, being honest. I admitted on air that I haven't had a physical in probably 3 or 4 years. I'm going to schedule one tomorrow morning. I need a new doctor. Can you do my physical or no?
No, okay. I can't, but I can certainly give you the names of some people that...
All right, good. You know. Let's do that off the air.
Okay.
Or we can do that.
All right. And it won't be Dr. Pohl, I promise.
847, how does Dr. Sandy feel about juicing? I know that's a common thing that people get into for the new year. That's what they think is a great way, and that'll solve all their problems. Your thoughts?
There are positives and negatives to juicing. I would say if you're using juicing instead of eating, that means using your teeth, I wouldn't do it. If you are juicing in addition to eating and making your diet more healthful, certainly make sure that you do not throw out the pulp, which is what most people have a tendency to do, because that's where the nutrients are.
But if I use like a Vitamix where it just blends it all up, that's still keeping everything in there, right?
I wouldn't do it.
Really?
No, I wouldn't do it. You see, and that is a very important thing.
But if I mash it with my teeth, it's the same thing as blending it up in a blender, right?
Listen to Aunt Sandy,
okay,
precious.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. We have a tendency to use things like that instead of adjusting our behaviors. It is easier to put something in a blender than it is to go to the store and get a salad and cut it up and chew it and sit down and eat it. Am I against 100%? No, I'm not. But that should be in addition to.
And you're right, because I say, oh, you know what? For lunch, I'll have this smoothie. I'm going to throw as much spinach in it as I can, and this will take care of this for the day.
And it won't. It will take care, it may, of the amount of fruits and or vegetables, maybe. But the chewing aspect of it is very important, and it's very important psychiatrically as well.
To actually go through the mastication of this.
Exactly. Oh, mastication.
Look at that,
listen,
doctor.
To you.
Just trying to impress you.
Wowie zowie.
Okay. 309 says, and again, this is a great thing to just say out there and put it out there. I am more than 100 pounds overweight, and I hate my body. I'm almost 70 years old. There's not much of a question there, but that's someone coming to terms with certain things. What would your advice be for someone that hates their body and they're 70?
First of all, I think regardless of your age, many people hate their bodies. I think that 70 is now the new 50, and I do think if one wants to do something about it, they can. The question is, as we were talking about earlier, either pick up the phone and call. I'd be glad to talk to whomever it is. You know, we've been giving out my phone number all morning. But I think the important thing is to be realistic about what is going to happen down the road. As I said, I lost 183 pounds, and I still look at my derriere, shall I say, and go, it's the size of Utah. So, I mean, certain things don't change. But
it's not, by the way.
Comfort level. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Not that I was looking. So it's about, you know, the comfort level changes you were saying, but we're always going to find things wrong.
We always can find things wrong. But again, it's, you know, you get to the point that what you want to do is be helpful in terms, again, in terms of our bodies. And our bodies change as we get older.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had my weight off for, you know, longer than you've been on this earth. And there are changes in the body.
773 wants to know, hi, John and Dr. Sandy, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you, too. My question is, what can possibly be wrong with me medically if I just cannot lose any weight no matter what I do and don't do? Are there medical tests I should have done to determine my problem? Thank you.
I think that you have to sit down with someone, be totally truthful about behaviors and anything else that might be going on. Again, we revert back to that call from the woman about the medication. Are we really, really looking to see what it is we're doing? That's the important thing. And then sit down, and then it's very rare that somebody couldn't be able to lose weight. They may not be able to lose weight as fast as they want to. None of us ever could. But I do think this is the point at which someone who's objective away from this really needs to take a good, long clinical look. Tests, I wouldn't start with tests. Again, it's too easy to go someplace, stick your arm out, or take some x-rays and have something done for you. or to you, where it has to be a participatory process.
312-917-2200 is our number. Talk or text. Dr. Sandy Goldberg founded and runs a Silver Lining Foundation, which again provides, well, you make the plug better than I can possibly do, even though we've talked so many times about it. So one more time, recap what you guys do.
And you know how I appreciate your support, Johnny.
Of course.
What a Silver Lining Foundation does, and we have five programs, but the heart of our entire foundation is a program we call Buy a Mom a Mammogram, but it's so much more than that. What we do is fund the entire spectrum of breast health testing and screening mammograms through biopsies for uninsured, underinsured, and undocumented individuals, men and women, because men can be diagnosed as well. And we fund now 16 partner hospitals in the greater Chicagoland, Elgin, and Rockford areas, although we accept people from everywhere.
My question is, and I've never had a mammogram, but I've had tests done for certain things that you worry about. I think that level of getting that done is getting past that level of fear, the fear of the unknown. What happens if someone's just scared of hearing bad news?
I think many of us are scared of hearing bad news. I really do. I think many people walk into it going, I know I'm going to be diagnosed. Should I buy a life insurance policy before I go and get my mammogram? I think the important aspect of it is to realize that, you know, you always hear about breast cancer and saving lives and saving lives and saving lives. Having access to a test which can tell you that you're okay eases lives. It's liberating. You know, you walk out of there. The best calls that we get at Silver Lining, at least for me, because everybody in the office answers the phone, is we'll get a call and I had my mammogram and I'm okay. I'm okay. That's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody isn't okay, we're not going to say, well, gee, that's too bad. You know, you have a questionable test, blah, blah, blah. It's nice to see you.
Yeah. Our job is done.
Yeah, we fund everything. We fund everything. And we are blessed with the greatest group of hospital partners who philosophically are on the same page with us. And if, God forbid, somebody is diagnosed, they're not going to be sent away. Been nice to know you. Everyone is taken care of. Everyone. At no cost.
And what's that phone number?
Still call Silver Lining. 312-345-1322.
No better day than January 1st. Are the phone lines staffed right now, or should they call tomorrow?
You know what happens? When people call after hours, which is after 5, or before 9 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get me, because all the calls forward over to my cell phone. I don't like voicemail. You know, I'm of an age, and I remember before voicemails. I remember before computers, dinosaurs roamed the land. You know? And I think that I feel when I call and I have to leave a voicemail message, nobody's going to call
you
back.
Right,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but you will. Well, you're not even going to get a voicemail, hopefully. We'll talk more. You can stick around a little bit longer.
Sure.
All right, okay. More coming up on WGN. Call us, 312-981-7200, with any questions for Dr. Sandy, next on WGN. 720 WGN. John Hanson filling in for Bill and Wendy till noon. That was my theme song a few years ago, what we're hearing now. Dr. Sandy Goldberg joining me here on 720 WGN, talking about a Silver Lining Foundation. I asked you, you know, what you're looking forward to in 2018. I was kind of asking you, like, on a personal level, Dr. Sandy, but I think that your work is a lot of who you are, and you're looking forward to helping how many women in 2018?
Over 3,000. That's our goal.
And you said something that your diagnosis rate, or what were you saying?
Well, we were talking about what we do at Silver Lining in terms of the number of women that we serve and the number of women that are diagnosed with breast cancer. And we see at Silver Lining somewhere women that come to us that literally have no place to go, that the rates of women that are diagnosed with breast cancer are something like 4 to 5 times the national average.
And what do you attribute that to?
No access. No access. People can't get the care. They can't get the access to the care that every human being deserves. And it is disgraceful.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on this one. You know,
well,
don't get me started.
Have been texting in, what should we do about health care? And I know that's a really broad question. And I know that you don't have all the answers, and you'd probably do a complete overhaul if it was Dr. Sandy's way. But is there something, or should we be writing those letters? Should we be calling those congressmen? What can we do?
I wish that writing those letters and calling those congressmen would make more of an impact than they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there was a tremendous impact was, as an example, here in Chicago with the soda tax, you know. But I do think to keep your voice out there, to make sure that you are heard. But I also think the most important thing we can do now in this climate you know, from a governmental and a health aspect standpoint, is to advocate for yourself. Reach out. Figure out where you can get care. And you know what a wonderful resource is? 311.
Really?
Chicago City Services Hotline. It is an absolutely wonderful resource. As an example, if someone, and we have a relationship with them and have for a number of years, and if somebody calls there and says, I need a mammogram, and I don't have any insurance, and the word mammogram, they're referred to Silver Lining.
311 will forward it over to you.
Oh, they'll give the caller our number. And there are many resources that are available. There are cost-free clinics. There are clinics that work on a sliding scale. But I think what happens is that many of us feel so downtrodden that we just can't get, we just don't matter, that we don't take that first step. That's the crucial thing. You know, if you don't help yourself, nobody's going to help you.
A lot of people are taking the first step of just texting us some questions, which may seem silly, but that is a step. That is just saying, I want to know the answer to this, or I want advice.
It is a huge, huge first step.
So here's the first step for someone, 708. What do you suggest for someone who suffers from depression and anxiety, who struggles with actually making a healthy meal or a meal period with no motivation to cook? That's the one, regardless of your depression and anxiety, which of course is a serious thing, that's a hard thing for a lot of people.
I think it's a hard thing for a lot of people. And in that particular case, there are stores where you can get prepackaged healthy meals already, salads, fish, et cetera, et cetera. There are some delivery services, you know, those places where they give you components that you can put things together. But I think suffering from depression, suffering from anxiety, and it can be debilitating and paralyzing, mm-hmm. actually. But to take that one first step, go to the store. Or go buy a head of lettuce. Cut that head of lettuce up. It's what you're talking about here. You know, there's a step. I've done something. There you go.
And you can build on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I find with cooking that if you just try it, mess it up, that's okay.
Yeah.
That tasted too salty. That tasted too much pepper. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Fix it the next time.
You can fix it the next time. You can also just go and get a salad and eat the salad.
Yeah.
You know, as you can tell, I'm a proponent of salads.
You're a pro-mastication, which I've got to say very carefully on the air.
Absolutely.
Or otherwise, we're going to get some texts and phone calls.
Absolutely.
630, Dr. Sandy, what are your thoughts on taking apple cider vinegar before every meal to help curb overeating?
I wouldn't do it before every meal. This falls under a category of like the old home remedy, urban legend remedy ideas like, you know, boiling red onions to stave off a cold that comes in there.
That doesn't work?
It does, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
It does.
Get the bag of red onions out of my way home then today.
You never know, but make sure you don't kiss anyone after cooking them. That's all I can say. Again, we'll go back to the topic at hand here. I've read a lot about it. I've read some of the studies, the colloquial studies that are out there. I wouldn't do it three times a day.
And she didn't say every meal, or he or she didn't say that. I kind of added that accidentally. So before a meal.
Yeah, before. I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, but just a tiny little bit. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be having a gallon before each meal or a glass before each meal. But also, I think, try drinking water. Try drinking a glass of plain water before a meal. It should serve exactly the same purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay, serious question from 630. My mom has Parkinson's and is on Medicaid, I think they're trying to say. I cannot afford this $360 a month insurance for myself. Are mammograms something that would be able to help us with? This person is 42 and the mother is 62.
If someone is on Medicaid, Medicaid will cover the mammogram for the mother. In terms of the daughter, the answer is yes, of course, we'll help.
And the phone number again?
312-345-1322.
847 Texan, I now live in California. Is there a program like yours here in California, Southern California?
In Southern California, actually, you have a lot available to you. I would just Google, you know, free mammograms in whatever part of California you happen to live in.
Okay. 847 says they're enjoying the show. Did you say that limit 2 glasses of wine a day? And you were saying that that is shown to be problematic, to as little as glass of wine a day.
That's exactly what I said. I would use wine, if you're going to have wine, for a special occasion, period. You know, I have 1 glass of wine a year.
Really?
Yeah, on the anniversary of my survivorship.
What day is that?
It is on the 20th of April, and it is going to be 18 years.
Congratulations on that. Yeah. And you have one glass of wine.
Well, it's a rather mega glass, I will say.
You filled the whole bottle, a carafe.
It's about, what is this, about 6 ounces?
6 ounces, yeah.
Yeah, and I get absolutely blasted, and my poor husband has to listen to me sing.
Once a year.
Once a year.
The alcohol thing is interesting because I, when I worked at DNA Info, I don't know if you're familiar with the website that's no longer there, it was much more of a 9-to-5-ish sort of job. And I would have a beer at night with dinner, or maybe two beers. With my current job where I work in the morning so early, I've curbed that completely. I really only drink on the weekend, maybe three or four in a setting, which probably is maybe one too many. But for people that do, is it about the number of glasses that you might have in a week? Is it about the regular nature of it? Is it just trying to moderate the whole thing?
All the above. All the above. Again, I come back to the term moderation, but what I also would take a look at is what are you using the alcohol for? It really basically boils down to it. What are you using it to bring yourself down? Are you using it because it makes you more comfortable in a social setting? Are you using it just because it's a format of habit? If studies show that a particular format of lifestyle behavior has a strong correlation with health and negative impacts on health, you really have to take a look and see why are you doing it in spite of that information.
That's interesting, especially something like smoking, too. I mean, that's about as blanket as it gets. We haven't even mentioned that. I mean, luckily, I think we've really done a great job in this culture of really changing the way we look at smoking. But there's still a lot of people out there that do it and struggle with that.
There are.
It's a real struggle. I mean, it's an addict. That's what it's designed to be.
Everything is designed on one level or another to be that. Why is chocolate so good?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are French fries so good?
Right.
Why do we feel so good after a glass of wine? I mean, it's in the same category, really, if you think about it. It's our reaction to it. I mean, are cigarettes designed specifically and chemically for us to, you know, to respond that way? Yeah, they are. But you got to look at all your behaviors.
Let's get a quick phone call here from Pat. Pat, you've got a question for Dr. Sandy here on WGN?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
My weight loss group that I've been attending over 40 years, off and on, up and down, just told us that if you're chewing your food, the act of chewing tells your brain that it needs to work on digestion and calorie burning. If you drink your meals, that doesn't happen. Is that true?
That's a really good question. The whole aspect of the neural aspect of response to putting something in your mouth is very, very different. It's really hard to explain. Your brain is more aware of the fact. We do have that whole satiation factor, the feeling full factor, if we're really involved in the process of chewing. Okay. If we are swallowing without chewing, there's less of a feeling of satisfaction.
Right. Yeah, I love the crunch factor.
There you go, honey.
Man, you could write a book about Pat. You should copyright that immediately, the crunch factor.
The crunch factor,
you're going to make
millions,
Pat. Thanks so much for the call here on 720 WG and a happy new year, Pat. We got so many texts and phone calls. I just wanted to end with this one, and we can talk more during the break, during the news. I'm inspired by Dr. Sandy's story and her program. What a wonderful way to give hope to others. It's so needed in this world. Evolve to do something in the new year to help others. Even if we've inspired just one person to help others, that's, I think, important. So one more time, the quick elevator pitch for a Silver Lining Foundation and how people can reach out to you.
You can reach out to us at 312-345-1322. If you need access to breast health testing, come to us. If you want to support us, come to us. Please know every single dime we raise goes to help others in need of that silver lining of breast health testing.
That's wonderful. And you're going to be on with Patty Vasquez.
I am.
Is it on the 3rd you're going to be on?
On the 3rd at 11:15.
In the evening. So you can get more of Dr. Sandy with Patty. And it's been wonderful to see you again, Dr. Sandy, as always.
And it is a joy to be with you, Johnny.
Johnny and Sandy show is wrapping up, but plenty more coming up on 720 WGN. Jeannie, I don't know if you can hear this here on 720 WGN. We're playing a little Smashing Pumpkins. Yes, Smashing Pumpkins. I'm joined by Jeannie Warsaw, who is a legend in the music industry. Do you like being called a legend?
I don't know about that.
I was reading your bio, and you, before, well, we're going to get to Mima and all the great things that you do now. But what's your background?
Well, I spent 20 plus, don't want to reveal my age, 20 plus years working in the music industry. And I pretty much worked in every asset, including publishing, A&R. But really, the biggest job was getting records played on radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for Virgin, Elektra, which was part of Warner Brothers, RCA, Sony, Epic, Columbia. Worked Michael Jackson records.
See, this is going to reveal my age a little bit. So I worked in my college radio station. We would get the records and we'd get pitches for please try and play this. But by then, even because I was 2006, and I always say that and people always yell at me,
you're young,
blah, blah, blah.
You're real young.
But how, back in the day, what sort of methods, like how do you, when you say you tried to get a record played on the radio, how did it work?
Oh, is that a good question?
Because we could probably do a whole show on just that.
We could do a whole show, and I probably have to be very careful with what I say. Mm-hmm. The music industry has really evolved and changed. Back when I was promoting records, we didn't have systems like SoundScan, which can detect the hook of a song and determine how many times that song is being spun on the radio.
Okay.
So it was quite different, and it was really ruled by the charts and people calling music directors and program directors at stations and saying, you know, what are you playing? What's in rotation that's really heavy right now? That kind of thing. So, you know, it would depend on what kind of artist we had. I mean, when I would go to a radio station and try and get them to play Janet Jackson, it's a given. No one's going to say no to me.
Right.
However, when I would walk in with something that was more of a developing artist that hadn't been heard yet, I'd have to, you know, play the record and the music director and or program director would listen to it and kind of give me their thoughts on how they felt about it. And at the same time, I would push it, so to speak, by giving them sales information, other radio stations perhaps that those stations would look at as, you know, the big guys in New York, in L.A., you know, the big cities. Well, it's being played here. It's being played there. They're getting some audience reaction.
So you got to make a pitch. I mean, you really got...
It was a big deal. I used to send out these really goofy... I was looking at some of them the other night. It's too bad I can't show them to you. I would send out all these goofy notes, you know, inside the package, because then we would send a CD to a radio station, which you don't have to do anymore
because
everything's downloaded. And I would, you know, my pitch would be in there and I'd put like a picture of my head on something and try and make it funny and stand out, you know, because I knew
something to get noticed.
Something to get noticed because I knew I was competing with all the other labels that were releasing music because everything got released at one time on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
So you'd have to fight with everybody.
See, this is fascinating to me. First of all, because the music industry has changed.
Oh, yeah.
But even to people that are, you know, were born and raised during this era and grew up during it, I don't know if they know all this, how this all works behind
Nobody
the scenes.
Nobody knows. You know,
because you hear a song, you're like, oh, that's popular because it's popular because it's played a lot. But the nuts and bolts of maybe a newer artist, something like that, it's not just you hear a song and you're like, that's going to be a hit, I'll play it. I mean, some people probably have that ear. I imagine you have that ear having done this a lot. But it's about making the sales pitch to these radio stations.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, it's very interesting, and there are books out there, but what really went on early in the 80s and 90s was pretty major because it was really a staff of marketing people, product management, A&R department, and then us, the radio people, who always got slammed on if we didn't get the record played. But
like, who would slam on you if you didn't get a play?
Would
the artists ever complain?
No. But we would have a boss for every genre because we worked rock, we worked alternative, we worked adult alternative, we worked pop, we worked hot four, you know, adult contemporary, and those genres kept spreading out and spreading out and spreading out. You know, and even on the urban side of things, you know, it was R&B, it was urban, it was black music when we first started. Now it's hip hop, now it's rap. It's all evolved. But I think that, you know, when I was pushing music, there was a lot of whining and dining that went on.
Well, that's why it's just so fascinating. And I wonder, because as anyone that has to push something or that's in sort of a sales sort of line of work, I imagine everyone has that song or that record that they don't actually want to, but you have to find a pitch and do it.
You have to find a pitch. And I got to tell you that one of the, I think the main reasons that I feel that I was fairly successful was building relationships, really, with the radio station program director and music director, knowing what their format was, mm-hmm. what kind of music they played. And I might preface something by saying, look, I've got a new artist for you. I'm not sure if it really fits in with what you're doing, but take a listen and let's see. And maybe it's something that might work in your later, you know, slot or something like that.
So by developing those relationships, they trusted you.
Absolutely.
So is there a, and we're going to get to Mima and everything you're going to do. And
we'll just,
we got the 11 o'clock hour wide open, so you can stick around and stay with us here on this new year. Is there an artist that you kind of hang your hat on as you're like, this was one of my babies that I, that maybe no one had heard of before I started really pushing it, or that we started pushing it as a team? Which one?
Oh my gosh. I can't believe my old brain is remembering. It took Virgin Records probably over a year to break Lenny Kravitz.
Really?
Yes. And I remember that when we went to, there's always conventions going on, all kinds of music conventions, and he played at one of them. And we all walked out of there like, you know, oh, he's trying to be Led Zeppelin. He's trying to be this hard rocker and, you know, can't figure out which direction he's going into and that kind of thing. And it did take us about a year to break him, and then he broke. And I love him, and he's a fantastic guy, and, you know, things have really taken off for him.
What would it be, I mean, so are there certain stations that if you got that station to play it, the wall would open up, the dam would open up, and that was it?
Or yeah,
does it
WXRT, for sure, when it was rock, mm-hmm. B96 when it was pop, top 40, dance.
And when you got to that level, you knew,
oh yeah,
this is going to take off.
Oh yeah,
point.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what happens is like, you know, like most media and entertainment world, those are the radio stations that other radio stations look to mm-hmm. see, you know, what are they playing? And to kind of emulate what they're doing, knowing that if they're seeing that that's in the top 10 or it's, you know, it's got a certain amount of spins during the day, then their station is going to understand that, well, you know what, this is what people are listening to. So, yeah, B96 for sure. Trying to think. Adult Contemporary was I can't even remember.
That's okay. It's early in the. It's early on in 2018.
I can't remember what that station was.
And I promise we're getting to me, man. We'll keep you in through the 11th hour if you can,
because
this is so
forever.
Fascinating. What was the? Was there a really hard sell that you were really passionate about that maybe never took off, or that it took so long and you finally?
Yes.
What do you got?
There was a group called Brother Kane, rock group, that we really couldn't get played on a lot of radio stations. And they were fantastic. And I was able to get that record played on Rock 103.5 when they were around, mm-hmm. which was such a great radio station. And they did really well in Chicago, really well. WXRT does that. They break mm-hmm. a lot of artists that they really started a lot of careers.
Is it frustrating when you love a song or a record so much and just you can't get other people to get on board with it?
Yes.
I mentioned we all experience this in our everyday life. I love this song. I was trying to play a music video for this new band called Fickle Friends that I really like, and I like their song, and I played the music video last night in front of everyone at New Year's Eve, and everyone kind of went, meh. And I'm like, how do you not get this? This is so catchy. How does not everyone watching this?
That's exactly what you do when you're with a music director or program director, because they might have added something that's mediocre, and then you've got this record that you think is outstanding, and it's like, it's a radio hit, and it's radio friendly, and you're using the terminology, and you're like, how can you not add this after you just added this piece of, mm-hmm. you know, whatever? So it would get, you know, it would get really frustrating. And a lot of times, too, you know, we as the radio promoters would get close with the artists that we worked with because we were.
Would you?
Oh, my God. We were anywhere. I never had every holiday that existed. I had a show. So I was with I covered pretty much the Midwest, the Mid-Central area. And anytime an artist was playing anywhere in those areas, I would go.
That was part of your.
Part of the job.
Okay.
And part of it, yeah. So you would be there to support the artist at the show, but you would do meet and greets and interviews at radio stations. And I brought a lot of artists up to Mancow's show when he was there.
It's a lot of hand-holding.
Oh, yeah. A lot of hand holding.
We're talking with Jeannie Warsaw. We're going to talk more. We're going to talk to me. What we're going to do after the break, first of all, I'm going to make Tom, our producer, bump in with Fickle Friends. Hello, hello. Because I want to get this. I want to get this going.
Should I tell you if it would make it on the radio?
Yeah. Yeah, you can. And then we're going to talk about Mima and plenty more here on WGN. Right, coming up on 720 WGN. This is Fickle Friends. Hello, hello. Jeannie, what do you think? Can it make it big? And you didn't hear much of it, but you heard a little bit of the chorus.
The hook was not so bad. The hook was not so bad.
I don't think I'm going to be hearing that song too much, the way you said that. Hey, we're talking with Jeannie Warsaw. We're going to talk about Mima more in just a little bit, but I got to go up to Andy Mazur. Andy, you've got some confirmation for us, don't you?
Yeah, the Bears have finally confirmed that they have informed John Fox that he is no longer the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Ryan Pace, the general manager, did that today, and Pace is scheduled to hold a news conference at around 4 o'clock this afternoon, so we'll be all over that this afternoon.
And there's no way they would name a successor yet.
No, they got to go through the interview process.
The whole process. So they haven't started any of, I mean, I'm sure they have a little list in their head, but.
Yeah, they've done some initial homework, so to speak, but they got to figure out who's going to be available. Do you have to ask teams for permission to talk to those that are under contract with other organizations? So there's a process that goes on with that, and I'm sure that they'll detail some of that information a little bit later today.
And they haven't talked to you yet, Andy. So
no, you know, I guess they've been listening to you this morning because I was the first candidate.
You were the first one.
Yes,
you're
indeed.
Willing and able. All right, thanks, Andy. Keep us posted. All right. Okay, so talking with Jeannie Warsaw, we're going to talk more about the fascinating job you had of records, but we got to talk about the reason you're here. What is Mima Music?
So we are a 501c3 nonprofit educational organization, and we've developed a curriculum unit that integrates, it's an arts integrated unit that integrates into the daytime classrooms at schools, at CPS schools, using socially conscious music from the 60s and 70s to teach students really about the landmark achievements of that decade. So the civil rights movement, the anti-war protests, social protests, women's rights, really all of these things, I think, that were started by young kids, you know, young people, mm-hmm. that really came together to try and make a change and used music as an agent for change.
Do you choose, I mean, obviously that decade, you're talking about some of the most transformative years ever. We're coming up on 50 years of the Civil Rights Act, 1968.
Yes.
I mean, huge things that came from student organizations and student bases and really became part of the national consciousness. Do you see parallels to this time of, I mean, like, I feel like we could replicate a little bit of that now.
100%. It's incredible. And, you know, when I was first thinking about wanting to do this when I got out of the music business, the parallels have always been there, unfortunately, because I think, you know, what's going on in the world with inequality and racism and social injustice, unfortunately, has always been with us. However, I think by the time we started the program, which was about 6 or 7 years ago, it's amazing how protests have all of a sudden are in the public eye now. Mm-hmm. And it's a really big deal. And people are trying to make changes. But what's really important with where music is at today, and we can get into that, mm-hmm. because it's quite different,
yes.
is we're trying to get kids to see that there was music that existed at one point without explicit lyrics, but that was really made not to make money, but for these positive messages to bring people together, sort of as a call to action, very much like the Civil Rights Movement songs and the Negro spirituals that moved into soul music, which really were messages of what was going on in the world,
mm-hmm.
and trying to make people aware of, look, this is what's happening, and we need to do something about it.
If you want a history lesson, you can open a book if you'd like, but you can play some records from the 60s, and you can get a history lesson.
It's all there. It's unbelievable. And in fact, we don't use a textbook. There's no standardized testing, per se. We actually include a lot of related video clips from that era. But the cool thing that we do is we're integrating music, art, social studies, English language arts, writing, journaling, all these kinds of things. But we also, I'm on the internet almost every day of my life, mm-hmm. searching all the time while I'm running the program, and I'm looking for current events. And anything that I find that's appropriate for 7th, 8th, and high school, because that's usually the classrooms we're in,
mm-hmm.
if I find something on Colbert or Saturday Night Live or anything like that, we'll bring it into the classroom. And the students love it.
Yeah.
I mean, they say to me, I can't wait for my history class. I can't wait. This is the best thing I've ever,
you know. It's done differently.
It's done differently. And we really, we're opening up dialogue with kids, and they want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
They really want to talk, and they open up about a lot of things, and it's really cool because then they end up sort of cross-talking. So maybe I'm leading a class in some way, but then they'll start talking to each other,
mm-hmm.
and they'll get into a conversation about how they feel about something.
Which anyone that spent some time in 7th, 8th, or high school classrooms knows that is not easy to do.
It's not easy to do, but we start out the program sort of with discussion ground rules. And the main thing is that the whole program is really about social justice, and it's about understanding other cultures, having empathy for other people. And so, therefore, what we say in the very beginning is, look, you're in a safe environment. We're going to talk about everything that's going on in the world. We're going to make comparisons to the messages in these music from the past. Compare it to what you're listening today. Even though some of what they're listening to is filled with explicit lyrics and such, there's a message, I think, in everything that they're listening to.
Mm-hmm. Does that bother you, the explicit? You mentioned that twice now.
I know. I'm like...
Because, like, to me, maybe it's just, I don't know, I don't listen to music with explicit lyrics, but I don't care if the kids do. That doesn't bother me.
Well, it doesn't bother them either, which is very interesting. But, you know, when you're in a school setting, you have to be very
True.
Careful about what you're doing. So I always tend to mention about the, well, we don't use explicit lyrics per se, just because, once again, we have to be careful.
Right.
But, you know, I think that still we do try and get across the simplisticness of those songs from the 60s and 70s that were creative in the lyrics that they chose, mm-hmm. without needing to have explicit lyrics.
So if you go to explicit lyrics, in many ways, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that cheapens the message. It's an easy fallback. It's easy to do. I guess it depends on how it's used, how the words are used.
I think here's what I think. I think that I grew up in the 60s, so I grew up with my starting point was music with positive lyrics, music that was talking about what was going on in society and how could we make a change, and talking about the government and this kind of stuff. Today, when I walk into a classroom, that's not the starting point for the kids that I'm talking to. Their starting point is usually rap music. And a lot of it is, you know, what they're hearing on the internet or mm-hmm. and what they're hearing is mostly a lot of music that is littered with a lot of, here I
right.
go again, explicit lyrics.
Right.
That's probably the fourth or fifth time I've said that.
Colorful language.
And I guess my only concern about that is, if that's their starting point, what's next? You know, and then in the rap world, what we're hearing is, and I compare it to, I'm not a Star Wars fan,
mm-hmm.
but I just saw the new Star Wars movie, and I don't understand any of it because I don't understand the relationships of who Luke is married to or uh-huh. who came from or whatever. But it's really funny because all I've heard is all of the older generation complaining about the new Star Wars movie.
Right.
Well, this is very much what's happening with rap today,
yeah.
where the OGs, the old guys, the old rappers. And by the way, we go through the whole evolution of rap music,
mm-hmm.
from where it really was hip hop, which was a culture, and then how it sort of grew into rap music in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole process that went through that I was involved in when I was in the music industry, because the 80s was political. It was sociopolitical. The 90s, you know, a lot was going on still with inequality, especially with African Americans, with Reagan in place, with the war on drugs and
mm-hmm.
mass incarceration. And so 90s rap really moved into, this is what's happening in the streets. And chances were taken with using more explicit lyrics. But I guess what I'm getting back to is, I just want kids to know what went on, where it started from. This, you know, it started back then. So now we've got this, the old guys and the mumble rappers that are, you know, doing a lot of arguing.
Right.
Where,
but it's important to understand the origins is what you're
the
getting.
Origins.
We're going to talk more. You can stick around, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about Mima Music with Jeannie Warsaw and plenty more coming up on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Hansen filling in for Bill and Wendy till noon today. I'm here joined by Jeannie Warsaw, a legend in the music industry. I'm just going to call you that. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
All right, you can just take it. She is now, she runs MIMA, which is an awesome nonprofit that goes into schools and had kind of upsets the curriculum a little bit. Not upsets it, but yeah, adds to the curriculum.
Adds to it.
It's 8 weeks are these courses, right?
Yeah, it's an 8-week curriculum, and the first 3 weeks are, I kind of call it theory and analysis, where the students are analyzing the lyrics in the socially conscious music, or they're comparing some of them to current music that they're listening to today. And talking, really getting into discussions about what's going on in the world. I mean, they know everything. They see it on the internet. They've got it on their phones. So,
but to talk about it.
But to talk about it,
go
yeah.
beyond the surface level.
Absolutely.
We had an interesting text, just a quote from Woody Guthrie. It's a folk singer's Ooh. Job to comfort disturbed people and to disturb comfortable people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's I've not heard that one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Of course, it just texted in, so maybe it isn't from Woody Guthrie. You can never trust what you hear.
Well,
but you know, but if it is, I mean, that is a very...
That's pretty cool. I mean, he had some good ones, and I mean, that does totally make sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just kind of stir, it's to stir your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of these 60s and 70s, like Woody Guthrie, all these folk singers, it was really to get people to try and come together and stand up and, you know, do something about what was going on.
Jeannie spent many years as a promoter of records, I guess you could say. What was the title?
Radio promotion.
Radio promotion.
Yeah.
Because when I hear radio promotions, I think of the street teams that we'd send out handing out things on the street. But you're talking about getting the stuff on the radio.
We had a team that did that too, though. There were mm-hmm. all these departments. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Of course. Let's go to Ken. Ken on WGN. Actually, can you put on the headphones? Do you mind, Jeannie?
Sure.
Because we do have a question here on the air. And Ken, you're on 720 WGN. You got a question for Jeannie?
Hey, this is great speaking to the legendary Jeannie and John.
I'm not in that category, of
I'm
course.
I'm not either, but thank you.
Thank you.
Anyway, the quick bio on me is I used to work with Jimmy and Don Einar at their Millennium Records.
Yep, yep.
One of the acts you probably know, Jeannie, is Yipes out of the Midwest area.
Right.
And Yipes, now one of the founding members of Yipes is Pete Strand, who's a Chicago music attorney. And then Frankie and the Knockouts, you might know of.
We had
a little hit with a song called Sweetheart. But as you were speaking about, it was so difficult trying to get airplay for Frankie and the Knockouts and others that we ended up going to college radio,
mm-hmm.
where we ended up getting a bit of airplay for groups out of Canada like Bruce Colburn.
Right. Right, right.
And a little side note, quick side note, is Frankie and the Knockouts had the last laugh because when he didn't get much airplay with his band, he ended up having a little hit song called I Had the Time of My Life and won himself an Academy Award.
Oh, wow.
That's great. Hey, Ken, go ahead.
Yeah.
Quick,
I was just going to mention that Frankie is a good friend of mine, and we're getting some bookings for him because he has a new band. And if we come into the Chicago market, perhaps... Frankie, you might have interest in having Frankie speak at any of your schools or what have you.
Look at Ken. He's doing his own radio promotion here.
Yeah, really.
Well,
yeah.
Ken, be sure to call in and let us know when they come
sure.
to town, okay?
I sure will. But anyway, the question I had was, I'm sure Jeannie could relate to this, is what role independent promotion people had in getting airplay and how payola might have impacted or corrupted the business?
That's a great question.
Well, I don't want to say anything that will get me fired after not fired, excuse me, that will put me in jail.
It's someone else fired.
After I leave the station.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, I worked for an independent when I first started. And then when I went to a record label, we were always kind of, working in tandem with independents. But sometimes we'd also get frustrated because we were working really hard out on the streets trying to get records played. And then if the indie got it, you know, played, we'd sort of feel like, well, you know, we're working really hard and we didn't get noticed for what we did.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an interesting world, the two of them. I think I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, very good. Let's talk a little bit more about MIMA Music. The name is important to you, too.
Yes. My mother, who passed away about 7 years ago, all of our grandkids called her MIMA. So I took MIMA and did motivate and encourage music appreciation. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So it works. So how many schools are you guys in right now?
We're in about three. We're all over the city, which I really love, and want to, you know, get further into the city. So right now we're starting the program again at Stone Academy in Rogers Park. We're going into our sixth year there. We're very excited. We've been in Englewood. We've been in North Lawndale. We've been in Belmont Cragen. We're trying to get, you know, into as many schools as we can.
So it's an 8-week course. The students and the teacher's still in the room then, right? Because you obviously aren't there the whole semester. So you kind of come in for 8 weeks.
Yeah. Typically what happens is it's usually run in a social studies class, you know, because we get into the Vietnam War and we do talk a lot about, you know, we kind of compare to what's going on today with wars, and try and get kids interested in actually maybe wondering and thinking about what does go on in other countries and how does that affect the United States when, you know, we get into these foreign wars and things like that. But what happens is after this 3 weeks of theory and analyzing, the kids get 5 weeks to work on their own social justice project. So they pick any social justice issue that resonates with them, whether it's something from the past or something that's going on now, that's going on in their community, their school, and they put together a multimedia presentation like a PSA, or they can write a song, or do a poetry slam, something like that. And then we have a lot of people in the industry that come in and mentor them and help them. You know, we've got video people that come in and show them how to videotape themselves. And then it's
most kids do the selfie method, I'm sure, but you're looking for professional or ways to do it better.
They do. A lot of them use their iPhones and stuff, but you know, we try to go over with them. Look, if you're going to use your iPhone, here's what you need to do.
Yeah, right.
And if there's background noise, move to another spot.
What do you hear from the kids after they're done and after they do these slams or the productions?
Oh my God, I'll start crying. Well, first of all, what happens is there's a big showcase in the school auditorium. So it runs about an hour and a half, and it's everything. I kind of put everything together like a movie, and then the live performances run sort of in between. It's unbelievable. You're asking me about kids, but I see, I don't know how, it's unbelievable to describe. I can see physically their faces change. I can see twinkles in their eyes. Kids that are maybe don't pay attention at all during the school year or never raise their hand will start raising their hand and start participating. And all of a sudden, they're so excited to do their project. I've had parents send me emails, you know, thank you for opening up my child or giving them this opportunity. I can't tell you how many kids start telling me just out of the blue something that's going on in their lives, or they just want to talk about stuff. It's and I'm involved pretty much with everything that they're doing, but when the showcase actually happens, sometimes I haven't seen the full project, and when I do, it's unbelievable.
We got a text, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it has a certain tinge to it, but it is a question that I sort of have. If someone's listening to this and they say, this sounds like a bunch of hippie crap.
I love it.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, social justice in the classroom.
Sure.
The text, you know, says, how are you able to teach in a CPS classroom? Do you come with an agenda with leftist leanings, that sort of stuff?
Very interesting.
Well, and that's a concern, of course. We want,
that's an
unbiased classrooms.
And you know what? It's actually a really great question. Because when I say 60s and 70s, I'm always concerned that people are going to think, oh, you know, this is going to be boring for kids who are listening to music today. You know, it works really well because we follow the Common Core and the Illinois, you know, the National Illinois Standards. So we're doing a lot of assessments, we're doing a lot of assignments, we're doing a lot of journaling, but I think what takes away from the whole hippie aspect is the fact that we're getting kids to discuss kind of what's their responsibility in their lives right now about participating in, in civic engagement. You know, how can they use art or music maybe to get the word out? Using 60s and 70s music is again, just to kind of give them an example of where it originated and where it started and how it's grown and just how it's really being duplicated, you know, today, too.
The education and the empowerment you give kids, they will use that how they see fit, whether their beliefs are conservative or liberal. I mean, and that's it's
Absolutely.
About empowering the kids to speak up, whatever their opinions may be.
100%. And, you know, I will tell you this. This is my seventh year, and I will say that there's not a class where I don't hear kids come up to me and say, I never knew that this music existed. I never knew that there was music that talked about the Vietnam War or this or that. And so, you know, and believe me, I'm very, very self-conscious about staying away from the whole hippie aspect mm-hmm. of it. And it really, I think the bottom line is you have to remember, it's about getting kids to talk and then compare to current events, because we will talk about everything that's going on. We'll talk about shootings at schools. We'll talk about shootings here in Chicago, gun control, anything that's happening. And we talk a lot about what's happening in other countries because kids today, they don't think that it matters. They don't think that anything that happens in another country will have any effect in the United States.
Yeah.
And it does.
It does.
And so we try to cover everything.
Now more than ever. More with Jeannie Warsaw after this. We're going to chat a little bit more about MEMA, but then I also have a couple more questions back to your days in radio promotion. Okay. 720 WGN. Right. 720 WGN, talking with Jeannie Warsaw. One more time, can you give the plug for MEMA Music and how people can get involved, by the way?
Yeah, sure. So we, on the web, we are MEMA, MEMA-music.org, O-R-G.
And as a nonprofit,
nonprofit.
Some money raising funds is great.
Oh, raising funds.
That's a big part of what you're going to do.
Yeah, raising funds is what we need because we have a lot of schools that want to run the program. And it's you know how funding is out there.
Yes,
so.
Right. Abundant, right? Everyone's got money to give. Yeah. But no, it's important. And, you know, and we were kind of talking this during the break about the left or right, all that stuff. At the end of the day, I think what we all hope for the next generation, I think this has been a universal thing throughout every generation. I think most people, and I hope they do, we just hope that the next generation has the skills to be able to talk to each other
yes.
and to communicate, and that no matter how we solve these problems, it may be a conservative answer for some problems, it may be a liberal answer for some problems, we have to talk. And we've seen civil discourse break down so drastically amongst adults in this country.
Oh, well, I mean, look at Trump's tweets. I mean,
right.
Not to get into politics, but, you know,
And the left does it, too. I mean, the left throws fire. I mean, it's on both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just not me just trying to say that. I know a lot of people, my liberal friends, just like me, but that are often in their own echo chambers, too. I mean, like, we really do exist in these echo chambers.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, with the social media, with everything that's going on, and we discuss this in class with students, too, you know? I mean, I think communication is becoming really tough for young people. And it's going to be in the 21st century a really important issue for them, you know, when they look for a career and get out into this multicultural world and try and survive and navigate.
So how can people donate? Do they go to the website?
Yes, go to the website and there's a donation button up on top. And we gratefully appreciate that so we can get into more schools.
You spent many years as a radio promoter trying to get records spun on the radio station as they used to do, like actually spin. Who is your favorite artist to work with? Because you said you did a lot of handholding. You'd work with artists all the time or list a few of them.
Oh, gosh. I was so fortunate. Well, first of all, David Bowie is by far one of the wittiest and most intelligent people I've ever met. He could have been a stand-up comedian.
Really?
Oh, so funny.
Quick?
Quick wit. I mean, amazing.
Genuine? As genuine as he was?
Oh, genuine, polite, incredible. I had a great time with Isaac Hayes. I picked him up at the hotel to bring him over to radio station to do an on air, and I happen to be an R&B fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up listening to a lot of music, but I've always been an R&B fanatic. And believe it or not, I had a cassette tape in the car filled with old 60s and 70s R&B. And, you know, he's in the car with me. And I said, you know, I know this sounds ridiculous, but
can I please pop this in?
Can I please put this in the tape deck? And we're just singing all this old Tower Power and all these old 60s songs and everything. All of a sudden, we're down on Michigan Avenue, and a bus comes up next to us and starts honking like crazy. Honking, you know, and he's like, "What?" And we turn, and the bus driver is going, "Isaac Hayes, Isaac Hayes." And it was, you know,
cool.
It was pretty cool. You know, he was just like, "Oh my God!" But you know, everybody was so wonderful. I mean, all of the developing artists too. One of the guys I love to this day that are great friends of mine were our Cracker, David Lowery and Johnny Hickman.
Mm-hmm.
Great guys. We used to sit backstage and have Johnny. We'd just throw out artists that played guitar and have them do 70s, you know, licks on the guitar.
Wow.
And just, you know, throw just Robin Trower, you know, just throw something out. And everybody was really great.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, worked with the Smashing Pumpkins. You know, I mean, it's funny when I go into a school and I start off by introducing myself and telling these kids my background, they have no idea who I'm talking about with these artists.
Because, really?
Not well, even Smashing,
I mean, yeah, you're right.
Maybe the Smashing Pumpkins, but you know, it was a really long time ago. They're looking for me to say, you know, I hang out with Migos and Drake and,
and see, those names I don't know, so that's a so I'm on the other end of the spectrum now. I know Drake.
Yeah.
I've heard of that one. I wanted to ask, so what if you have a three song, no one has iPods anymore, but if you're listening to something, I don't know, what do you play in your car? What are your three, if you're, I don't know if you work out or when you listen to music, I guess what are the last three songs you listen to?
You know, unfortunately, I do listen to older music. I mm-hmm. just end up falling back on that. You know, it's hard. If it's rock or pop, it's Coldplay, or I'm a big fan of Keane.
Mm-hmm.
I think Collective Soul is a great band. If we're moving over to R&B, I do love Kendrick Lamar. I listen to everything. I really do.
Of the newer artists, who is someone that you admire that you think has the spirit of someone that maybe from the 60s and 70s and does promote social change and social justice as their main motivation or one of their bigger motivations?
Well, they're not really newer, but The Script, I think, is a pretty cool band that really writes a lot of positive stuff.
I'm nodding like I know them.
Okay,
you see this?
Cool.
So I need to look up The Script.
You know, there's a rapper called Lecrae that's very positive. Oh boy! I knew you'd ask me this. Why didn't I write this down?
Do you think we're lacking in artists that have this?
Here's what I think happened. You know, radio stations are governed by big conglomerates that own these stations now, and within those conglomerates, there are heads of those stations that create the playlist, and that playlist is what's played, and DJs can't really go off of that list very much,
right?
And I think the same thing goes on with streaming media to a sense. So we're here once again. We're kind of just hearing the Hot 100,
right?
You know, that kind of thing. However, there are hundreds and thousands of other ways to listen to music, and there's so much out there.
Yes.
That it is hard to keep up with what's going on. When I started in the music industry, there were probably 8 record labels, and that was it. And so it was so easy to keep up with each genre of music and know what was going on. I mean, you can, you know, I listen to a lot of world music. I want to hear what's going on in other countries. So, you know, and then it's like I take a piece of paper, I try and write everything down, or I take a picture of, you know, a playlist from another country. And I usually ask students,
What are they listening to?
What are you listening to? What, you know, what's going on? What do you like?
Because it's a double-edged sword. Having the internet and having the ability to literally plug in anything into YouTube, a search function, is empowering in a way. Because you can find an artist and discover them, and they have a message that isn't run through the corporate sphere. But it is such a vast world out there that where do you even begin? And I guess it's just word of mouth amongst the students.
Where do you begin? Yeah. And I think that, you know, when you get into, when we talk about rap music too, I think there's a lot of women, there's a lot of female rappers out there that are not in this top 10 that people aren't hearing. And, you know, I think this woman Rapsody that put out a new album this year is fantastic. And I'm not sure, you know, if you see her on a lot of year-end lists and
right.
things like that. So I just think that they're out there, but they're just, you know, not in the usual.
They're lost in the noise of it all.
They're lost in the noise, yeah.
All right. We could talk forever.
I know.
This has really been great. Thanks for sticking around for an extra half hour.
My pleasure.
And it's mima-music.org. And let's get these kids talking.
Yeah.
The more kids talking, nothing bad can come from peer-to-peer chatting of great discussions between kids.
And it doesn't, and it never has in the 7 years that we've been doing this, yeah. honestly. I mean, there's a way to talk about these things, yeah. and it should be done. And your New Year's resolution, by the way.
Which one?
Yours, for you.
Okay.
You need to get a physical exam.
I know. You're bringing it
you
back.
You cannot go
I
4
know.
Years without one.
I know. And it's been four. You know, it's been 2 years since I went to the dentist, too. I can't believe I just admitted that.
Goodness.
Jeannie, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Happy New Year.
We'll have more after this on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Hanson filling in for Bill and Wendy till noon. Then we have the Wintrust Business Lunch. Oh, Paul Lisnick's in. Oh, that's exciting. And he'll be joining us at 12. And then Dane Neal's in for John Williams at 1 o'clock. Hey, Domati, I wanted to ask you, are you an... Oh, you're doing something else. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go
well,
ahead.
I just want to know, are you a New Year's resolution sort of guy?
I am.
What do you got for us this year here in 2018?
I want to be more generous this year.
Oh, what form will that take? With your money? I mean, I know you have barrels of it. I saw the wheelbarrow you brought in and parked along the side just
yes.
full of money. You can start with me if you'd like to donate a few dollars.
I will. No, I think we have to practice generosity, things we want to get better at. I was, we do stories about how frosty these wind chills are, but walk past folks every day who have to, homeless people who have to brave this. So the other day it hurt. I gave someone $20.
Oh, wow.
It hurt. But get this. Bumped into a friend of mine who had one of those USB card converters that you can plug an SD card into it and plug it into your laptop. Some little nerdy contraption I needed. He said, hey, you can have it. So it came right back around.
Karma comes around.
Comes around. So that generosity thing, that's my theme for 2018.
That's true. And Ryan Burrow said he wants to do 40 hours of community service. It wasn't court ordered. He says he's going to do it on his own throughout the year. And I think that's such a good thing. And there are so many ways. It's almost like what we were talking about with the music, that there's so many ways to give back, that it's almost intimidating. Like, where do I start? There's so many issues that I could focus on. But I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Chicago Cares. We've talked to Janae Myers from there before. They're an organization that basically, you go to their website, chicagocares.org, I believe. I'll double check. But they are a one-stop shop for all your volunteering needs. So whatever you like to do, if you like to plant trees, if you like to work in more hands-on in schools, if you like the idea of a soup kitchen or whatever it is, they have a time, date, for everything. So it's like, I can do Saturday mornings and I don't like to talk to people. They've got something for you. So it's a really cool one-stop shop. Or if your company is looking for to give back, you can go to Chicago Cares and work with them to come up with cool stuff. So that'll be awesome. My New Year's resolution, to tell everyone about Chicago Cares and to donating and volunteering and all that sort of stuff. Okay, cool stuff. So Auld Lang Syne is the song that everyone sings at New Year. Tom Hush, you're familiar with Auld Lang Syne, right? You were playing a little clip for us earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite holiday songs.
You say that with such disdain. I don't know if I believe
you.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry. It's just kind of my voice. Everything sounds like I kind of hate it, but mm-hmm. I do love Auld Lang Syne.
What do you love about it? Do you know the lyrics? Because here's the thing is that you ask people on the street what the lyrics are to Auld Lang Syne, and they kind of hum a few bars, and then they say, it's Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah, so I know about as much about the lyrics as anybody else. It has a special significance to me because it is actually a Robert Burns poem, and Robert Burns was the great Scotsman. It was written in 1788 in his native kind of Scottish dialect, and originally was not a song. It was just a poem. And then it was eventually set to this melody that didn't really have a name. It was just an old folk song that, you know, dun, 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 and
so that was those two things existed independently of each other.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So and then we get this song that really captures the swell of feelings that you get at the end of one year and the beginning of a new one. And I've got the lyrics right here in front of me.
Okay.
And it's really interesting because it had to be translated, essentially, which is weird to think about because in Scotland they speak English,
right?
You know,
sort of.
Some people might disagree on their interpretation of the English language, right. But this was written in a very specific sort of dialect that you know. So the chorus of that we hear is "For Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for Auld Lang Syne, will take a cup of kindness yet." For Auld Lang Syne. But in the original Scots verse, it's pronounced "For Auld Lang Syne, my jo, for Auld Lang Syne, will take a cup of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne." Like,
that makes less sense.
Yeah. And even if you read it in the Scots pronunciation guide, which you can find on Wikipedia, it's like, "For Auld Lang Syne, my jo, for Auld Lang Syne, will take a cup of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne." Like, it's
that was pretty good.
Yeah, I try. I watched. My dad was Scottish, so I got used to the ear for the accent.
Born in Scotland, or yeah, Scottish?
He was born in Scotland. Came here in the '80s.
So you used to go to Scotland for New Year's Eve. You were saying,
yeah, it was. I was living abroad for a while when I was a young child. Really, I was living in Singapore of all places when
really?
I was seven.
Tom, I didn't know this.
Yeah, it never really comes up. Until now.
Did your folks moved around a lot, or?
So my dad used to work for Motorola, and, you know, sometimes those projects would take him around the world. And at one point he was traveling back and forth to Singapore a lot. And so they kind of just said, "Well, you're traveling a lot. We know you want to be with your family. Why don't we just put you in Singapore for a couple years until the project you're working on is done, and then you can go back to the States." And we were like, "Okay, sounds good to us." So we moved halfway around the world.
Wow.
With my mom, my dad, myself, and my two younger brothers, one of whom was an infant at the time.
And how long did you spend there?
About 2 years. Moved there in January of 2001, left in January.
You are a very worldly person for how young you are. How old are you, Tom, if you don't
mind? I'm 24.
I thought so. So you're a young guy, but you have this very worldly presence, and now I know why.
Yeah.
So you'd go to Scotland for New Year's a lot.
Yeah, it was strange because you would think we'd go back to the States, but it was my dad's family was all in Scotland. It was a shorter trip. It was easier with having three young kids, and we spent our Christmases and New Year's in this kind of picturesque Scottish way. Like, we wouldn't stay in a hotel. We would stay all together on, like, we'd rent like a farmhouse.
What?
In the Scottish countryside, and we'd all get together there and have the whole family come in and stay there. Or one time we stayed in a place called Turret House. In a place called Kelso in the Scottish Borders, which is this area bordering on England.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this old house that literally had a castle turret where they originally had a gun station during World War II, ergo Turret House.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it was really weird. It was like very Charles Dickens in a way, like everybody in the house at the same time, the fireplace roaring, drinking mulled wine and singing songs. It was very lovely.
That is fascinating. So whatever you did last night paled in comparison is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're young, there's something so magical about this time of year. It really kind of fades over time when we try to recapture it. And I'm not saying that people don't have fun with New Year's mm-hmm. Eve once they get older, but every time it gets to Christmas or New Year's Eve, I think about those times, especially Scottish New Year's Eve, which is called Hogmanay.
Hogmanay.
Yes. And it's very much about visitors and bringing people into your home and welcoming in the new year. There's a special significance to the first person who walks through your door past midnight.
Whoever that person is that walks in first represents something, XYZ.
Yeah,
okay.
They represent this, like, they're the first visitor of a new year, and isn't it exciting to have the first visitor of a new year? Their hospitality is huge in Scotland. Like,
uh-huh.
Even someone you don't know, they'll give you the shirt off their back to make you feel welcome and make you feel comfortable.
That's
so
really cool stuff.
It's a totally different world over there.
You mentioned the spirit of the holidays, and yeah, Christmas time and the New Year's used to be just like mine. It still is one of my favorite times of the year, but it used to be something I would obsess over, look forward to.
Sure.
A lot of that probably had to do, of course, with Santa Claus coming and the gifts and all that stuff, but there was something about the spirit of it that fades over time. But what I've talked to my parents about this, and they say that a lot of it comes back when you have kids of your own, that you get that spirit back because you're able to pass that on, and then it starts to live again in you, and it's 33, still no kids yet. But one day, and that, and then same for you, Tom.
Yeah.
And you bring him to Scotland.
That is the dream, to bring him back over there.
How cool is that? Hey, everyone, we only got about 16 minutes left in the show, but I wanted to get to New Year's resolutions, and I would love to hear from you, 312-981-7200. If you have a resolution that you don't think anyone else has, something very specific or something a little odd, something maybe that's very unique to you that you need to stop or start doing, because the losing weight one is great, and they're all great. I mean, like, quit smoking, oh my gosh, please. Drink in more moderation, whatever it may be. Make more money, those sorts of things. Those are common ones, though. So I would love to hear some new unique ones. 312-981-7200. I'm going to tease a few of them. This is BuzzFeed. I think you got this. Although Tom started the sentence in our pre-show meeting, you said, I've got a good buzz. And then you finished. I was like, oh, you still got a buzz here this morning. No, he meant he has a good BuzzFeed article. So here are some great little resolutions for you that are maybe specific to you that might inspire you. They're not hard to do. Maybe some are harder than others, but they're a little bit more specific. So number one, and I think a lot of people our age probably do this, Tom. I don't know if you do. Stop looking up your ex on social media.
See, I feel weird about that one because almost all of my exes I'm still just friends with. Like, it's normal. Like, I look them up because we're probably getting lunch or something next week.
Tom, hush. You're so sweet.
I try.
You're so nice. That does not surprise me that you'd be friends with all your exes. Yeah, that's always the thing. And they say breakups are tough, but scrolling through your ex's tagged photos to see who they're hanging out with will not help you at all. So the next time you have the urge to look up your ex on Facebook or Instagram, stop what you're doing and look up videos of dogs reuniting with their owners, which is always a good idea. What you should do, really, you should take your number out of their phone. And now Facebook has this thing. When you break up with someone, they actually give you the option right then and there. Do you want to mute seeing them? So you don't have to unfriend them, so it's not this dramatic thing. But you can actually say, I will mute this conversation. I do not want to see their stuff anymore, which I think is really smart. Because
does it take it out of your... I know they have their whole memories thing where it's like, oh, look what you were doing 3 years ago. Are they still going to bring up a photo of you and your...
I don't know. I hope they do, because that does happen a lot. A lot of memories. Oh my God, you're breathing heavy there, Tom.
I don't know. These photos came up of when I went to prom, you know, in high school. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the girl I went at with that time, like, again, we're totally cool, no big deal. Mm-hmm. But you see it again and you just kind of feel weird. You're like, wow, yes. I really was like into this person at this time. And while those feelings are gone, it's like, ugh, this is a different world.
You're opening up the floodgates to a lot of emotion.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel the same way, especially, you're right, on these memories on Facebook. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, Facebook will tell you what you posted a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, what's a picture someone else told you about yours. Because we don't get enough of ourselves. We need to find out what we did a year ago on this date, 2 years ago on this date. But even today, I'm looking through and I'm like, there's some of that stuff I don't need to see. I don't need to get flooded with those memories. Okay, so stop looking up your ex on social media. I want to hear your unusual resolutions. 312-981-7200. Unusual or just very specific to you. That's up next on 720 WGN. I just got to meet Hannah Staley in real life for the first time. All these people that we work with at WGN, sometimes
you've never met Hannah Staley?
No, and our paths always cross. We were friends on Facebook and
sure.
And Instagram and all that stuff. Because, you know, our paths don't always cross here at WGN. And especially as fill-ins, you know, we don't always go to all the Christmas parties. We can't do that. All of us have other sure. things that are going on. So that was a pleasure. And she also came in not just to hug me, but because she's in for John Williams today, 1-3. Oh. So it's not Dane Neal. I didn't mean to freak everyone out or get everyone too excited, but Hannah is amazing, so she's wonderful. And we still think it's Paul Lisnick in for the Winter's Business Lunch, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. All right, so we're talking about New Year's resolutions, and everyone's got the typical ones: losing weight, smoking, quitting smoking, I should say. All that stuff is great, but I'm looking for ones that are very specific to you and ones that are important to you and might be just ones that you have that no one else have, or that they're just a little bit different. So let's go to the phone lines. Bob, you're on WGN. What's your New Year's resolution, Bob?
Well, I did this about 10 years ago, and I've tried it since. I've not been able to accomplish it, but okay. I was able to then. It was, I started on January 1st, and I did 50 push-ups. And I did 50 push-ups every day. I had to do it before midnight. 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups, and then 1 minute of jump rope.
So it was very specific.
Yep, and then February 1st, I would add 5 push-ups, 5 sit-ups, and 1 more minute of jump rope. I was able to do it every day. By December, I was doing 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and then 11 minutes of jump rope.
This is an obvious question, but did it make a noticeable difference? I mean, it must, right?
Yeah, it was. You know, I would certainly. I felt like I felt a lot stronger. I felt like I was in better shape. It didn't take. Initially, it doesn't take that long to do. You can do it in probably 4 or 5 minutes. At the end, it got very difficult. I remember, and I had to, the contest was you had to have it done before midnight. So I remember I'm going on vacation. We're driving through Nebraska, and I told my wife, oh, we've got to stop. I haven't done my push-ups and sit-ups. I'm doing them out in the middle of Nebraska.
Well, it becomes a thing. And I imagine once you get like a month or so in, you've just got to do it. Then at that point, you just become so driven. Hey, Bob, we got a lot of other calls to get to. I really appreciate it. What I like about that plan is that it requires no gym, and it's very specific, and it's very regimented, and it's simple to do. You can do it at home. Let's go to Audrey. Audrey has a pretty specific New Year's resolution. Audrey, what you got for us?
Good morning. Well, it's kind of embarrassing because I've been putting it off and putting it off forever.
Okay.
And this year I'm finally going to get my dental implant done that I should have done a long time ago.
Hey, you know, we're all about embarrassing ourselves on this show this morning. There's nothing wrong with that. You're going to get that dental implant. Congratulations, Audrey.
Thank you.
And now that you've said it on WGN, you've got to follow through.
I know, and I'm afraid.
Well, Audrey, here's the thing. So you're going to need a dental implant, and I just revealed, embarrassingly enough, that I haven't been to the dentist in 2 years, even though I pay for dental insurance. So I'm going to say right now, I'm going to the dentist this month, and I'm going to go twice. I'm going to do the every 6 month cleaning. Audrey, are we together on this?
Yeah, perfect, definitely.
All right, thanks for the call on WGN. Let's go to Tom. Tom, do you have a New Year's resolution for us, or are you just chatting about some of your Norwegian heritage? Is that what you want to chat about?
Yes, the grandkids are kind of losing it because over the years, nobody's married another Norwegian. So we're down to an eighth, I think, in terms of how they're all bushed together. But, I'm not getting any younger, and we're hoping to be able to do a little bit of that without being onerous or
Wait, annoying. So you're trying to set up your grandkids with fellow Norwegians?
No. To teach them about their heritage.
Oh! Oh, I thought you were saying that we're down to an eighth Norwegian, so we need to refill the stock or something.
No. I'm just saying with each generation, it's getting diminished.
Uh-huh. No, that makes total sense. That's a really good thing. And actually, I got to say, I'm very Norwegian, too. So, but I don't know much about the heritage. If there's one important fact that I should know about Norwegian heritage, what is it, Tom? What should I know?
Well, I'll give you one thing that's Chicago-specific enough, and another thing that's more general. The more general stuff are all the cookies, which have special
meanings or fillings, or
you don't make the cookies in a regular. Sorry, there's special tools that you have to use.
Okay,
and if you're really Norwegian and grew up with that way, krumkaka, sunbuckle. I mean, I can go down the list.
You know your cookies. So is that the general one, or is that the Chicago specific one?
That's the general one.
Okay,
basically the cookies. And did you know that Norwegian Christmas really started out as a celebration of the solstice, the winter solstice, and so it's been around, and they just moved it to Christmas because it was so close.
It's so close. It's 4 days apart. I actually did know that because I watched Rick Steves, and he did a special on holiday traditions, and he talks about that in Norway. Hey, Tom, good luck with teaching everyone.
Go ahead. Chicago specific, if you walk across the street and walk across the Michigan Avenue Bridge, my great-grandfather was city engineer of bridges for over 50 years and brought that specific design to Chicago from Norway.
Oh, wow. It has a Norwegian connection because of your grandfather.
My great-grandfather.
Your great-grandfather. Well, that's really cool, Tom. I'm glad that you got to share that. Thanks for sharing.
Take care.
All right. I need to learn a little bit about my Norwegian heritage. I didn't know that cookies were such a big part of my Norwegian heritage. It explains a lot because, as I told people at the beginning of the show, I always have a resolution to eat better, and I've lost a little weight over the last couple months, which is great, doing it in a healthy way, which is wonderful. But, of course, you could always cut down a little bit more on sweets. You can cut down here and there. That was one of my New Year's resolutions, and literally the first thing I did out of bed today, even before I showered, made coffee, anything, there was a stack of cookies left on the kitchen table from last night's festivities. I ate one before I even returned to bed for a little bit longer, and then I had another cookie on the way to work. So about an hour into my new year, an hour waking time into my new year, I had already broken my sweets thing by having two cookies. We're looking for specific New Year's resolutions. Got a few more minutes left in the show, 312-981-7200. A big resolution that you have that's specific to you, not a lose weight one, that's great, not a I'm going to quit smoking. Some other ones that we have from this BuzzFeed article is sending thank you notes when you get gifts. And this is definitely an art form that is lost, but it's definitely appreciated. I even still like getting the thank you note from the wedding thing. I think that's still a pretty standard thing. If you get a gift at a wedding, or you give a gift at a wedding, you're going to get a thank you note back. But I always appreciate that every single time. Another one is stop drinking and online shopping, which is something that I've never... A lot of people talk about this, that they'll have a few drinks at night, and then they'll just go online, and they'll end up on a little bit of a spending spree. So they say on BuzzFeed, that's a dangerous lie of my friend, and that sure is. Drink water. And I know this is kind of tied to the working out and being healthy, that sort of stuff. But yeah, drinking water helps with satiety before you have a meal. We were talking to Dr. Sandy Goldberg earlier about drinking apple cider vinegar before every meal. And Dr. Sandy said, if that works for you, that's great. But just having a glass of water before a meal can be a really, really healthy, healthy thing. This is a really good resolution for you might be to stop looking at your phone at the dinner table. Isn't that so important, Tom?
Oh, yeah. I make a point to not do that. If that were a thing, when I was growing up, I mean, we had plenty of tech. I had a Game Boy or whatever, but it was definitely the rule. No electronics at the table, you know, no TV on. You're there to talk with the family about what you did that day.
Here's something fun that my friends have done. I know other people do. If they're in a big group of people, they will get together and everyone will put their phones at the center of the table, face down, and the first person to grab their phone gets the entire check for everybody. Has to buy the check. That's a good one. That keeps you motivated.
I like
certainly.
That.
Another one. This is interesting. This is one I should probably adjust to. Only say I'm sorry when you actually mean it. I'm someone that says sorry for everything, things that I didn't even do wrong, but I just feel that it's important to say I'm sorry. So
it's the Midwestern condition. Yeah. Everything is your fault.
Mm-hmm. The last few on this list before we go to break, learn how to actually take a compliment. So that means, you know, it's hard sometimes when you struggle with insecurities, but qualifying someone's compliment is actually pretty rude. So all you have to say is thank you. And if it feels too short, just add something simple. I really appreciate you saying that, which is so true. Say thank you, and just you can add a little thing that doesn't have to be a big thing. Unfollow toxic people on social media. I think that's very true. And do one thing each week that you truly love and to make it a goal. One thing I get to do every week, or usually about once a week, is host on WGN Radio.
Yeah, and make sure to follow John Hansen on social media. Unfollow toxic people. Follow John Hansen.
At John the Cubs. And really quick commercial break, then we're going to find out what's on the Winter's Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Two times in 1 week, Paul Lisnick. I'm so excited to see you again.
Wow, but it's a new year. Can you think of a better way to start a new year off than
no?
Me and you, me and you.
Can I just stay for the next hour or two?
Yeah. You don't bring me flowers anymore.
So you're hosting for Steve today on the Winter's Business Lunch.
I am, and you know what's coming up? Hey, the first half hour, we're going to raise the question, do we still need independent travel agents out there? You know, I mean, everybody's online, they're doing their own thing, or big companies have you know, travel agencies with them. What about those small independent agents? I've got one coming in, WLM World Travel is going to talk about, do we still need them?
That's fascinating, because I wonder the same thing all the time. I book a lot of the travel myself, but when you get in predicaments, that's when I wish
that,
I had.
That is exactly where I think the conversation goes. As long as everything is good, you're fine. But have a problem, good luck to you.
Yeah, you definitely need one.
And the second half of the hour, we're going to talk with Sharon Oberlander of Merrill Lynch about what the markets look like in 2018. No better place to start on a day when there's nothing happening. Let's just see what happens tomorrow. Well, does everything look good?
If it's anything like 2017, I'll be A-okay with that.
Yeah, it was a good year.
It was a great year.
Aren't you going to take me to dinner? You made all that money?
Yeah, exactly. That, you know me. I'll be taking you out right after the show. In fact, I'll be listening the whole way home, and then let's meet out for dinner, Paul.
You got it, John. Thank
this
you.
Is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.